Given
2,500 million people. 40 millions more each year.
Given
the acreage, land and water of the planet Earth.
Given also
human ingenuity, skill, productivity, common sense, and human short-sightedness and destructiveness.
Geometry of Hunger. World Health Day 1957 is devoted to the theme Food and Health. United Nations Radio contributes a theorem on nutrition. A Geometry of Hunger.
It's a very well-known thing about school geometry, almost an axiom, that some people like it and others don't. You can either take it or leave it for others to ponder. That isn't so about food. We all have to eat, whether we like it or not. In many ways, we are what we eat. So let's try to prove the following.
To prove, we eat badly, too many of us, rich and poor. We could eat well. We could produce enough of the right foods, not only to feed ourselves, but also to make some provision for the 1,000 million people more who will be with us by 1980.
To work. Method?
To prove. We eat badly.
Facts from Dr. Jean Mayer, eminent nutrition authority of the Harvard School of Public Health.
A great part of the world still suffers from hunger and malnutrition. Another part of the world is literally eating itself to death.
Perhaps you knew something about the first of those two statements, the so-called hunger areas of the world. Possibly the second statement was new to you. Dr. Mayer continues.
There is growing recognition in prosperous Western countries that obesity is a threat to health and that it is becoming more prevalent. The causes are twofold. There's more food available, particularly concentrated, processed food of considerable energy-giving content. There are more machines and shortcuts, which make expenditure of physical energy less and less necessary. As a result, physical work goes down in amount, but not appetite. People eat more than they need to. They grow fat. The result? More diabetes, liver diseases, heart disease, and ailments of the blood vessels, not to speak of mental suffering.
Serious though this is, it's less important than the problem in so many parts of the world, the problem of not enough to eat. What do we mean by enough to eat?
Scientifically speaking,
says Dr. W.R. Aykroyd of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations,
a diet is satisfactory if it provides calories, proteins, vitamins, and minerals in sufficient quantities.
By this scale, the great majority of the people of the world have an unsatisfactory diet.
Enough food is a primary human necessity. When people are poor, they must, to obtain sufficient calories, rely mainly on the cheaper foods. In return for a given sum of money, certain kinds of foods yield more calories than others. In the first group are cereals, starchy roots and sugar. In the second, milk products, meat and eggs. Less land and agricultural effort are needed to produce a given number of cereal calories than the same number of calories from foods of animal origin, which are richer in some essential nutrients.
Since scores of millions of people can afford only the cheapest, most filling, calorie-giving foods, they do not receive those ingredients which build and sustain healthy human bodies. Note, few people in the world are actually so poor as to be constantly hungry, but the great majority are badly and wrongly fed. What happens to people who are badly fed? They're part of the most vicious form of that well-known geometric concept, the vicious circle. Dr. Mayer.
In spite of what is often said, the human body does not adapt itself to underfeeding. What is unconsciously done to conserve substance is to do less. Excessively prolonged sleep, torpor, inertia, and lack of initiative follow prolonged undereating.
Such people cannot work effectively to produce the essential foods they need or to earn the money to buy them.
Lack of essential nutrients also causes weakness, chronic disabilities, and mortal diseases such as kwashiorkor, due to lack of good quality protein, beriberi, due to lack of vitamin B1, or pellagra, due to lack of the vitamin niacin and good quality protein. Again, the vicious circle is complete. It can only be broken from the outside.
Malnutrition, disease, weakness, inability to produce, therefore even poorer nutrition.
Proved. The diet of too many millions is inadequate and it tends to get worse. In other words, we eat badly. QED.
Most authorities in economics and agriculture agree that we could eat well if this problem of nutrition were approached on a worldwide basis. If the elements which make for bad nutrition were attacked on a broad front. What are these elements?
Start with one of the really big factors. The economic barriers which separate those countries with vast and ill-fed populations, lands of agriculture insufficiency, from other nations whose food surpluses are so great that they don't know where to store the stuff. Outlandish ideas like storing food in the Arctic regions have been put forward. Think of the preventable and curable diseases which keep output low in many areas. Consider such things as the wasted interest in useless foods, inefficient agricultural practice.
These are the big things, and they're well known. But even apparently minor factors like food habits and fads often contribute their bit of complexity to the picture. Have you ever tried to overcome a food fad?
Among the people of New Guinea, the breast of the hornbill is a delicacy. Australian officials in New Guinea ate it with enjoyment, thinking of it as a sort of beefsteak, until they were told what it was. Then they stopped eating it.
Such attitudes to food are found as frequently in sophisticated communities as in simple ones. Among wealth and poverty, equally.
In Burma, many people consider milk and milk products to be undesirable foods for adults.
People will sometimes insist on carrying out their own food preference even when the result is death by starvation. Trying to find reasons for such attitudes is sometimes an unrewarding procedure.
In parts of China, the farmers refuse to eat beef. The ox, they say, is a familiar working companion. What man would eat his friends?
Yet it's the essence of this obstacle to proper nutrition, as it's the essence of others, that it can be overcome. Food attitudes do change, sometimes in a healthy direction. After all, human beings used once to eat each other. Problems of agricultural production and the diseases which kill productivity, these can also be overcome. Yet the problems are vast ones, and the efforts required to solve them are also great. In the field of agriculture, Mr. B.R. Sen, recently elected Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization, gives some examples.
These include land reclamation and drainage, soil surveys, better farm machinery, plant breeding, animal husbandry, and a host of other things. But above all, the development of agriculture requires the improvement of farming methods. This, in turn, calls for effective agriculture and extension services to bring the knowledge of improved techniques to individual farmers and their wives. Only thus can they cultivate their land more efficiently and better their living conditions. The production of more food must go along with action to prevent waste. An enormous amount of crops are damaged in the field or in storage by pests, by insects and rodents. Another immensely important thing is the application of food technology so that good use is made of the foods which are produced. Again, food production and consumption have economic aspects which must be cared for, things like efficient marketing systems.
Such are the problems facing us in agriculture today. What of the future? What of the 40 million new lives each year? The 1,000 million additional human beings who'll be sitting down to dinner with us by 1980. Can they be well fed in a world barely able to keep itself in calories? Despite all the obstacles, all the difficulties, there's well-grounded belief that the job can be done. Here's the view of Lord Boyd Orr, Nobel Prize winner, one of the world's great authorities on food and resources.
Thanks to the discovery of science, which has advanced more in the last 50 years than in the previous 2,000 years, we now have the knowledge and the power to produce sufficient food on a health standard for more than twice the population of the world. And we now know how to eliminate or control nearly all the killing diseases.
We have the knowledge and the power. Have we the will? The will not merely to break the vicious circle of hunger and disease, but to reverse it, for nothing less will do. We need, as Lord Boyd Orr says, enough food for health, and a healthy population is essential if food production is to reach the levels needed properly to nourish the human race.
But the peaceful transition from the old to the possible new world, which in this atomic age is the only alternative to the destruction of the old world by war, is a formidable task. To rid the world of disease, great projects have to be carried out. Modern sanitation with a clean water supply must be provided for two-thirds of the people on the earth. By the systematic use of insecticides, malaria must be eradicated. New health services have got to be created, and institutions established for providing doctors and nurses. Such projects involve an enormous expenditure. But the abolition of hunger and malnutrition involves an even greater expenditure. As the population of the world is likely to be doubled in the next 50 years, the food supply will need to be doubled to maintain the present inadequate diet in many countries. And to raise the diet of all mankind to the level needed for health would require about a threefold increase, the increase being mainly in the more expensive foods. Vast quantities of agricultural equipment, fertilizers, facilities for storage and transport of food are needed. Water control projects must be developed to convert the destructive power of floods to useful ends, to produce electricity for industrial and domestic use, and keep the water for irrigation. Enough of the right kinds of food is necessary for health, and a healthy population is essential if food production is to reach the levels needed to nourish the whole human race. This is no utopian ideal. On the contrary, on its practical application depends the kind of world that our children will inherit. The carrying out of these great projects calls for the cooperation of all nations and all peoples in the closely related objectives of better food and better health, and is a basic condition if the human race is to have any hope for a future of world peace, prosperity, health, and happiness.
You have heard A Geometry of Hunger, a program for World Health Day 1957. World Health Day is sponsored by two specialized agencies of the United Nations, the World Health Organization and the Food and Agriculture Organization. The theme this year is Food and Health. A Geometry of Hunger was produced by United Nations Radio.